The Football Pod.
Who are you blaming, yourself or the man? Oh,
name names, Paddy. This is the time. This is the chance.
It's a black book and say,
The Football Pod. Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Optimum Nutrition. There's more of you in you. Unlock it with the world's number one sports nutrition brand.
13 minutes past 9, GA to come. Before all of that, Kathleen, good morning to you.
Morning, guys.
Three things to get to. First of all, hot off the press.
Hot off the press. Ireland have dropped a place in the international rankings. I think we've just basically swapped with Scotland, which is kind of funny when you consider where we are in the Nations League. But I suppose that's what happens. You lose games and you get dropped immediately. And England up to number two.
Yeah.
So that's exactly what we want to hear. Tickets are actually on sale this morning
for
that doubleheader in the Aviva, 10 a.m. if people want to get their hands on those. Today is the morning for it. It's going to be great.
Out.
I imagine so.
It will be.
The only thing is the England game's a Tuesday evening. So like, and I've seen a not sure, evening time. But I've seen a lot of English fans saying that they probably won't travel for it, which is unfortunate because they think you definitely would have got a big crowd. Because I know even a lot of English fans were annoyed about the fact that our return game over there was in Norwich because it's also difficult to get to for a lot of people. So yeah, an unfortunate one, but we'll still we'll make a good day of it. Have lots of fun build up here and on Koi Gig as well.
These comments are going to run probably over the next few days. Obviously, Emma Hayes will be out in front of the media tomorrow for the Chelsea Arsenal game.
It's this evening.
This evening, okay. Emma Hayes has caused a bit of a stir. Will you explain to us?
Yeah, so this all started with earlier, I think it was late last week, where Willie Kirk, who is the manager at Leicester City, has stepped aside because he has been investigated for a relationship that he supposedly had with a player on the current squad. Now, the investigation is still ongoing, so to clarify, this is all alleged at the moment. And yesterday was the first opportunity that a lot of journalists had to actually ask managers about what they felt about it. Most managers, I think pretty much across the board, that were asked said that it was totally unacceptable. It was an unacceptable use of the power dynamic. Emma Hayes also said this, but she threw in a little spanner into the works that has got a lot of people angry and probably talking about the wrong thing, in that we should be talking about the dynamic between a player and a coach. She said player-coach relationships are inappropriate. Player-to-player relationships are inappropriate. So that player-to-player element has caused a lot of uproar with fans, because it's well established that in the WSL and in women's football in general, there are a lot of relationships, and there always has been, and it's always been seen as a point of pride for the league that they're able to talk about relationships and gay relationships, when in the men's game, it's just not something that happens. So that has caused a stir. Now, as he said, there's a game tonight. I imagine she'll probably come out after the game and say something about it. The interesting thing last night with it was that Jess Carter, one of her players who is in a relationship with a Chelsea teammate, Anne Katrin Berger, was liking tweets from journalists and fans that were basically calling Emma Hayes out and saying it was ridiculous of her to make these statements and to conflate the player-coach relationship with player-player relationships. Not exactly what you want when you have an injury crisis on your hands already and you're going toe-to-toe with one of your main rivals in what could be potentially a title-deciding game. But it'll just be interesting to see how this does rumble on over the next couple of days.
It's an interesting conversation to have, because it can, of course, be a tricky thing potentially for a manager to have to manage. However, her use of words have not been good. She's like very, you know, we're going to talk about Chelsea Arsenal in a minute. I remember we discussed after the 4-1 version in December how well I felt she had managed afterwards. She'd been very open in the press. She normally picks her steps very well. You would have to assume/hope that when she's out this evening that she gets the opportunity to say, sorry about that, that was, I didn't really mean that. That word particularly.
I think if she probably could have brought it up in the context of her talking about the game being professionalized more and more, and I suppose some of the social elements of the game being kicked out, because as the game gets more and more professional, it's probably going to be more difficult as well for players. If you're on opposing teams to your partner or whatever it might be, it's going to be harder for those to work effectively. I think that Susie Rack did a really good job from The Guardian of contextualising Emma Hayes in terms of what she has said in the past and how she has dealt with this issue in the past. I mean, she did sign Pernille Harder because Magda Eriksson was her captain and she wanted her partner at Chelsea. She was a brilliant player, but it has been long said that that was a major reason for bringing her to the club. So it's not like Emma Hayes has a track record of being disregarding to these relationships as well. I just think it was poorly chosen words, and to put it alongside the player-coach relationship, which has been such a toxic dynamic in women's football. You know, we had all the stuff in the NWSL. We've had a couple of different cases over in England. It turned two issues that are very separate and kind of blew them into one big thing, which isn't appropriate, I don't think.
Mm. Yeah. We will keep an eye this evening, see what I'm sure she'll be asked about in the interviews around the game. Chelsea, Arsenal, Stamford Bridge, obviously, is what we're discussing. Mentioned the 4-1, you know, at a time where, you know, everybody felt like, oh, this is great news for Arsenal. They're going to push on here and push themselves into a proper title race. Kathleen didn't materialise on the day. But Emma Hayes was rightly very critical of her players afterwards. There was the whole thing about Lauren James, and she had she made some sort of a gesture to her in the game or whatever, that she was singling her out specifically around it. But yeah, it feels unlikely to be a repeat of that.
I think so. Arsenal arguably are going into this game with even more to prove than they did at the start of the year because of how their season has gone. Mm. No team has ever lost three games in the WSL and gone on to win. Chelsea and City are 3 points ahead of them at the moment. They're level on points, with Chelsea just ahead, I think it is, on points difference, yeah. So I think it's unlikely, but Arsenal do have an opportunity to do something in this game considering the amount of injuries that Chelsea have. Now, you say, you look, they're missing Mia Fischel, Sam Kerr, Ramirez isn't playing tonight. But then you see the player like Kat Macario coming back from over 600 days out with an ACL injury and scoring. I think her first game scored within 3 minutes, her second game scored within 6 minutes of coming on. So tonight she'll probably score within 12 minutes of coming on, if that is the case, if she's not in the starting lineup already. So despite the fact that they do have those injuries, they still have that power. But Arsenal are the more settled team at the moment. Yeah. They've also played a lot less games over the last couple of weeks. So I think Jonas Eidevall should be going into this game saying, we have the upper hand on paper, but you can just never count Chelsea out.
And it's Stamford Bridge.
But Stamford Bridge for Chelsea isn't really... They haven't built that sort of cauldron that Arsenal have at the Emirates, where they're selling it out back-to-back. Stamford Bridge, a lot of the time the crowds are more in their like 10 to 20,000 rather than the 40, 50, 60 that we've seen over the last couple of years at Arsenal. So they're still working on getting that as a arena for them. Part of me thinks they actually might be better out in King's Meadow, because that for them really is like their fans have taken full control of it. So I don't know how much that would be. And I also think Arsenal are very used to playing in big stadiums now. So might not have the impact that...
The December one was a record. About that? Yeah, at that time. Not going to be built on tonight by the sounds of things.
No.
One of the big criticisms that of Chelsea that day was about being overrun in midfield. What is the plan to get around that tonight? Like, they'll need somebody to sit a little bit more and get on the ball a bit more and dictate play a little bit more?
Yeah, it's going to be difficult for them because, again, with the injuries that they have at the moment, they're struggling a lot in that area. One player that I think could come into it and do quite a good job is Aggie Beaver-Jones, one of the young English players. She's been really impressive and has had the opportunity to step up, kind of similar in the way, I suppose, to like what Neve Charles did a couple of years ago with Chelsea when they had their injury in the back line. I think for Chelsea, it's very much going to be dependent on their forwards and getting a couple of scores in early days and shocking Arsenal, because Arsenal aren't great whenever they go down. So I think if they're looking for a tactic rather than trying to overly think the midfield, I think it's going to be more trying to get themselves ahead of it and hope that Arsenal's mental weakness, which comes into things sometimes, they panic a little bit when they go down in games. And I would always say that Eidevall's in-game management isn't great. I think that'll be the way that Chelsea will be able to kind of tick Arsenal
lock
off
a bit, yeah. And they will
no
optimistic.
No.
I don't think.
I don't want to say anything incriminating on air. I do think they're quite evenly balanced. And like I was saying at the start, I think on paper Arsenal are going into this as the stronger side, but you can never count with Emma Hayes and Chelsea what they're going to do. Mm. I do think the comments yesterday probably threw the squad a little bit. Mm. If you were to look at the Jess Carter reaction to it, and I imagine Berger isn't that happy, and there's a few other relationships in there too. So it'll be how well Chelsea are able to park all that stuff and take themselves, look at it and go, right, okay, this is a title deciding game, we need to win it.
Yeah.
For all the talk we've done over the last couple of months about Emma Hayes and the players wanting to play for her, this is probably the truest test of it that we've seen.
Yeah.
So how will they come out?
Yeah. Yeah, it could be one of those things that we look back at the end of the season and say, oof, that was actually a bigger impact than we felt at the time. Right, Kathleen, thanks a million.
Off the Ball Breakfast
with Optimum Nutrition, the official performance nutrition partners of the Gaelic Players Association and Leinster Rugby.